SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Hey y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk Wayfair. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yama Dumerang, you're tuning in to NITV Radio today on Wednesday, the 5th of February, 2025. My name's Dante and I'll be hosting you through the next hour. It's the middle of the week and in most places around the country, it's a hot one, so make sure you mob out there are staying hydrated and cool. And hit the pools if you got one near you. If I'm honest, I finished work yesterday, grabbed my togs and headed straight to the beach. And let me tell you, that was the best decision I made all day. But enough about what I've been up to, because today's show is going to be another deadly one. We've got an update on the bushfires in Victoria, and Troy Cassadaly is going to talk us through his time at Tamworth Country Music Festival, as well as his reflection of the 2019 Black Summer bushfires. And with that, we're going to play the one thing all blackfellas can get around, and that is some country tunes for all you out there. But first, the latest in news and weather.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, a man assisting police after a one-year-old dies outside a Sydney childcare centre. Donald Trump reiterates his support for Gazans to be resettled elsewhere, and in sport, a gold medal from the 1956 Melbourne Olympics to be sold at auction. A child has died after being found in a car in Sydney's inner west. New South Wales police say a one-year-old girl was discovered unresponsive in a vehicle outside a childcare centre in Earlwood and could not be revived by paramedics. Superintendent Christine McDonald says a male occupant of the vehicle, believed to be related to the child, is assisting with inquiries. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has called the incident heartbreaking for everyone concerned. Sweden's Prime Minister has spoken of darkness falling over the country in the wake of a mass shooting that has killed an estimated 10 people. Ulf Kristersson has made the remark during a press conference held to reassure the country that has grappled with rising gang violence, but where mass shootings are rare. Justice Minister Gunnar Strömmer has confirmed a number of others have been injured, to addition to the 10 people who have died. He has reiterated the PM's earlier plea for Swedes not to speculate about the reason for the before the police investigation is complete.
Anyone in that family, I'm devastated for them, and I also am thinking about emergency service workers. It's just a reminder, maybe their own life isn't in jeopardy every single day, but what they have to confront in a typical shift.
Of course, we all want to understand why this happened, what occurred, and what motives the perpetrator may have had. We will have to wait for those answers. In due time, the picture will become clearer.
Sorry about that. Quick mix-up in the grabs, but that's all right, because now we're on to the next one. Donald Trump has reiterated his support for the permanent resettlement of Palestinians outside of Gaza during Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to Washington. The US president has told the Israeli prime minister in the Oval Office that he and his team have been talking about the possibilities of resettlement with Jordan, Egypt, and other countries in the region.
I think we need another location. I think it should be a location that's going to make people happy. You look over the decades, It's all death in Gaza. This has been happening for years. It's all death. If we can get a beautiful area to resettle people permanently in nice homes.
Mideast envoy Steve Witkoff has defended the president's remarks, saying Trump only has the welfare of Gazans in mind given its level of destruction. But Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan says it's a terrible idea.
This method has been tried in history. There's been a war going on for 60 to 70 years. If they push on this method again, if they take it further, a situation will arise that will endanger both regional and global peace.
Supplies are being flown into the far north Queensland community of Ingham, which has been left isolated by heavy rain and flooding. Major Bruce Highway link, the Olara Creek Bridge, has collapsed, while water levels remain at hip height and in many places after the nearby Herbert River rose beyond a 15.2 metres flood record set almost 60 years ago. The Australian Defence Force is airlifting generators to provide power and fuel supplies for services such as water treatment plants, while Federal Emergency Services Minister Jenny McAllister is understood to be in talks with the supermarkets to drop food and grocery supplies to its residents. Queensland Premier David Crisafulli says he grew up in Ingham and understands their anxiety about flood events.
I remember my parents talking about the 1967 event and how devastating that was, and the fact that we may never see another one again. Well, this event has proven that another one did come, and the river heights were very, very similar to 1967, and the devastation is, quite frankly, incredible.
Ukraine has promised to negotiate a swap for Australian captured during fighting with Russia. Ukrainian ambassador to Australia, Vasyl Miskinchenko, says his government is pushing for the exchange for Oscar Jenkins, after adding him to its list of prisoners of war once Russian officials confirmed the 32-year-old Melburnian was alive. Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has confirmed he raised Mr. Jenkins' welfare directly with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for the first time in an overnight phone call ahead of the three-year anniversary of Russia's invasion. He says Mr. Zelensky wants an investigation into how Mr. Jenkins ended up in Russian hands. A new study says many Australians misunderstand migration and want to lower the number of people coming into the country, but their minds can be changed. The Australian National University survey has revealed Australians believe the proportion of migrants from the Pacific to be three times the actual figure, while people also think the numbers coming from the Middle East are double what it is. Lead author Alyssa Leng says the research shows quantitative facts about immigrants can change Australian minds, but that migration narratives did so much more effectively. She says this highlights the importance of news outlets accurately reporting on immigration issues. An independent probe is to be held into a landslide that destroyed a home on Victoria's Mornington Peninsula and sent a council worker to hospital. Premier Jacinta Allen and local government minister Nick Stikos say they intend to establish a board of inquiry that will determine how the landslide happened and if it could have been avoided. Minister Stikos says the inquiry is in response to concerns of local residents, but he also says he wants to ensure it never happens again. Parents will have access to 3 days of guaranteed subsidised childcare under new laws introduced into the Australian Parliament today. Early Childhood Education Minister Anne Alley has brought Labor's signature policy before the House of Representatives. Legislation and the Greens have already agreed to support in the Senate. The changes will remove the current activity test to guarantee subsidies for families earning up to $530,000. The minister says the 3-day guarantee is about making sure every child has the best start possible to life.
We know how precious the first 5 years of a child's life are. It's a time of extraordinary growth, of emotional and intellectual development. In these years, children learn foundational skills. They learn to socialise and develop emotional skills that they then build on when they start school. And the children who benefit the most from high quality early childhood education and care right now are the least likely to attend.
The country's alcohol industry has disputed a study that found more than a third of alcohol products on Australian shelves do not have government-mandated pregnancy warnings on bottles or cans. Alistair Cove from the industry group Alcohol Beverages Australia says the study was based on a survey undertaken in the 3 weeks immediately before and after the 1st of August 2023, which means almost every bottle in the store would have been produced and labelled before pregnancy warnings were mandatory. But Public Health Association of Australia Chief Executive Terry Slevin says the survey confirms government must take a much stronger action on alcohol warnings to help Australians make informed choices about their drinking. He says it's time to stop leaving the fox in charge of the henhouse. Thousands of people have left the Greek island of Santorini following an unprecedented series of tremors caused by underwater earthquakes in the Aegean Sea. Extra ferry and airplane resources have been added to help people evacuate. More than 200 incidents of seismic activity have been recorded since last week, triggering fears of a major event at the holiday hotspot. Local resident Sinas Lignos says everyone is worried.
For 3 days now, there have been earthquakes all the time, every 5 minutes. It is continuous. They don't stop at all. The entire island is traumatized. We have been looking for tickets for 3 days now. We could not find any for the ferries or the airplanes. They don't exist.
And to sport. A gold medal for cycling from the 1956 Melbourne Olympics is going up for auction. It's estimated the medal will sell for between $30,000 to $40,000. The medal was originally awarded to Australia's Anthony Tippy Marchant in the 2000-metre tandem cycling final alongside Ian Joey Brown. Lesky Auction House says their pair first teamed up just 10 months before the start of the Melbourne Olympics. And now for a look at today's weather. And it's a hot one across the country with Perth sunny, the tops of 39. Adelaide sunny of 31, Melbourne mostly sunny with 24 degrees at tops, Hobart partly cloudy at 20, Canberra with a possible shower or two and maybe even a storm at 33, Wollongong partly cloudy at 27, Sydney partly cloudy at 30, Newcastle is mostly sunny at the tops of 32 degrees, Brisbane with a shower or two at 29, Cairns with rain and a possible storm at 30 degrees, and Darwin showers and a possible storm of 33. And this has been your latest in news and weather for today.
Somebody does you wrong, what can you do? And you're not the only one they're making love to. When they let go of your hand, you got to get back to the land, 'cause it will never, ever, ever hurt you.
Hey, when your so-called friends no longer want you around, that the other friends they found. If you don't fit into their place, then get back to the land, 'cause it'll never, wrap you in.
You're tuning in to NITV Radio live on the wireless. The song you just heard was the Teskey Brothers featuring Emma Donovan on the song Get Back to the Land. And now we're going to hear a feature that SBS producer T. Mitchell put together on the bushfires in Victoria that are still burning through some of the national parks. And you can hear that story right here on NITV Radio. Communities in Western Victoria remain on high alert as massive fires continue to burn through two national parks. There are fears that separate fires could form a single front as temperatures rise. Over the past week, residents of several small towns have been told to evacuate. That's not an option for local wildlife, though. As bushfires continue to blaze through two national parks, there are renewed fears for lives and property in coming days. Dr. Tamison Ramsey is among those whose home is threatened, but she's more worried about the endangered forest and fauna nearby.
Sometimes the way we talk about it, we talk about, you know, homes and lives lost. We say, oh, you know, three homes have been lost in this fire. Well, we all have homes. We humans have homes and other species have their homes. We have our lives and they also have their lives. So to say that no lives have been lost is not correct. There's thousands of lives lost. You know, it's like lizards and snakes and birds and bees and bats and macropods.
Dr. Ramsey lives on a property adjoining the Grampians, or Gariwerd, National Park, where bushfires have burned through an area larger than Singapore in recent weeks. Her property is also the home of the Wildwood Wildlife Shelter, which is run by her friend Pam Turner, who takes in injured creatures from the surrounding bushland. And Dr. Ramsey says animals injured by the bushfires have begun to trickle in.
Some have had to be euthanized because they've got their feet are literally white. Hot, dead tissue, they can't survive.
There's every expectation this trickle could turn into a flood.
We've gone out to the fire ground on, you know, private land with permission, of course, and seen a lot of dead animals that have just died from, as we would, from the radiant heat.
Experts are worried about what will mean for biodiversity, with two national parks burning in the region at the same time. Michael Clark is an Emeritus Professor of Zoology at La Trobe University, specialising in the impact of fire on fauna. He describes the landscape being raised.
Little Desert's a very special place. It's a remnant heathland mixture of low-lying vegetation, lots of nectar-producing plants, a really diverse flora, but it's unspectacular in the sense that it's low topography, undulating dunes and swales with continuous variation broken up by some mallee, which are shorter eucalypts. Real contrast with the Grampians, which is rugged mountain ranges, rocky, steep, really diverse flora again, mixtures of heathlands and eucalypt woodlands.
More than half the land has been burned out in both national parks, an area exceeding 150,000 hectares when the two are combined and more than double the size of Singapore, Professor Clark says that's a huge threat to wildlife.
They're hugely significant on the landscape level. We don't have many large remnants of uncleared vegetation in this state anymore due to white settlement. And these two national parks are hugely important.
Professor Clark says many of threatened species call the parks home.
In the Little Desert, there's real concerns about some bird species, the iconic mallee fowl, where the male incubates the eggs underground. One of its strongholds is the Little Desert. A tiny brown bird called a slender-billed thornbill, one of the ones that's threatened in that part of the world. But there are also butterflies, a large ant, blue butterfly, some reptiles, a particular snake called the bardic, and Rosenberg's goanna. These are all species that are vulnerable or threatened within the Little Desert.
The Gariwa National Park is home to around 50 threatened species as well. One of them is the brush-tailed rock wallaby, which has seen one of its last strongholds in the park, where it was reintroduced in 2008. The Victorian Department of Energy, Environment and Climate Action is dropping sweet potatoes, carrots and hay from the air to help provide survivors with extra food. They're likely to need the support. A nature campaigner with the Australian Conservation Foundation, Darcy Carruthers, explains the park has been battered by multiple fires in recent years.
The Grampian suffered major bushfires in 2006, again in 2013, and now less than a decade later, they're on fire again.
While the landscape is highly adapted to fire, Professor Clark explains it needs time to bounce back.
The way we think about this in the state of Victoria, at least, is we look at what we think the plants in particular have evolved to cope with. And so if we imagine something like a Banksia might take 15 years before it gets reproductively mature and is producing seeds that can replace itself with, if we have fires in a frequency less than 15 years, then it won't have reached sexual maturity and it won't be able to replace itself and it may become locally extinct.
He says climate change fuels fire that are larger, more frequent and more severe. They're becoming unmanageable.
What we saw in the Little Desert was a fire that did something like a 40-kilometre run overnight. It's a massive fire. And because we've cleared so extensively in Victoria, even if that kind of fire was a natural part of the landscape pre-settlement, because we've cleared it now and we have our national parks virtually as islands, where we have the risk of these big fires taking out most of the island in one fell swoop. And that's a game changer for the wildlife.
In this landscape of islands, it's harder for wildlife to escape from the fires, and there's less food if they do. To make matters worse, Professor Clark says feral animals like foxes and cats often follow fire fronts to pick off survivors. Others will likely end up staying with Dr. Tamazin Ramsey, her 87-year-old father, and wildlife carer Pam. When the fire threatened the property and wildlife shelter last month, they decided to stay, with sprinklers wetting the house, huddled in the lounge room filled with 20 joeys. Dr. Ramsey was also out on the front lines fighting fires as a volunteer, so she knows the risks, which are increasing again. There are fears two fire fronts will join up in the Grampians as temperatures are tipped to reach 37 degrees this weekend. This time, Pam has evacuated along with the animals at Wildwood Wildlife Shelter, but Tamazin will stay behind with her dad. She says they prepared as much as they can and been in touch with the firefighters working nearby.
So we're not going to be stuck out there on our own. And we also do have a place of last retreat. We've got a cellar that's underground, not under the house, and we've got woolen blankets, and so we've got a place of last retreat if we have to go to. We don't think it will get to that. But still, you know, we make these decisions, but then if things change, if conditions change, then we have to respond to that as well. But that's our plan, is for Robin, my dad and I to stay and protect the place.
A place that she shares with animals when they have no place else. This story is by T. Mitchell, produced by Dante Brex for SBSNITV Radio.
Yeah.
Radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
If you just joined us or have been listening in, then you know we've been playing some deadly country music on the show today. And just then we heard from Uncle Archie Roach playing Hold On Tight. Coming up next, NITV's executive producer Luana Grant sat down with Troy Cassadaly as he yarned about his deep connection to Yuin Country, his recent performance commemorating the Black Summer bushfires, and his powerful song Windradyne, which won Heritage Song of the Year at the Golden Guitar Awards. Troy also reflects on his record-breaking wins at Tamworth, his personal documentary A Journey Between the Fires, and the importance of using music to inspire the next generation. And you can listen to all that right here on NITV Radio.
Welcome to NITV, Troy, and I'm really excited to be yarning with you today, and thanks for your time as well.
Oh, no, thank you, Luana. Really looking forward to having a chat.
So we recently caught up on Yuin Country in Batemans Bay on the beautiful New South Wales south coast, where you performed for mob that were coming together to commemorate 5 years since the Black Summer bushfires. And when I asked you to come down for the event, you didn't hesitate, one, because you are so generous with your time, especially when it comes to helping out our mob, but also because you have a very special connection to Yuin Country. Do you mind sharing what that special connection means to you and what the trip meant to you on a personal level?
Oh, look, my late mum was really obsessed with our family tree, Luana, and so she was... There were inklings that we may have this distant matrilineal line that goes all the way down to Yuin Country. So I ended up doing the show, Who Do You Think You Are? And they introduced me to this whole new part of our family line that I had no idea I had. So, you know, I woke up in a motel at Batemans Bay and the crew at Who Do You Think You Are said, we're not going to tell you who you're going to talk to or what you're going to see today, but just be in the foyer at 8 o'clock and then we're off for a big adventure. And it was one of the most beautiful family adventures I think I'd ever had. So having those distant ties down there made me realise that I have a connection. So I kept going back there even after I'd done the show. And then your opportunity to go back was even better because I got a chance to go to two of the cemeteries where a lot of our old mob are buried down there. And then I wrote a song in the motel the day after the show, so about Thomas Golden Brown down there, who's one of our big ancestors. And I reckon a lot of our drive comes from him reading about his life, and his life spoke to me from the pages. So I started to write a little song about him, which I'm definitely going to carry with me for a long time.
Yeah, it was beautiful, and it was such an amazing night, and the mob just loved having the chance to meet with you and hear you sing. And one song I personally love is Windradyne, which you released last year, and it's one of my favourites because it is about our Wiradjuri warrior. But do you mind telling us how you came to write that song and what inspired it?
Yeah, Windradyne came from a really an odd place. I'd never heard of Windradyne before. I was at a wake a few years ago and we're all in the backyard. A lot of my family was sitting around having a beer and we were under the hose because it was so hot. And my cousin had his shirt off and his mum was the late, beautiful Mary Coe from Cowra. And I said, what's the name tattooed on your back, Windradyne, Davo? Explain it to me, you know. And he gave me the story and told me about the book that his beautiful mum had written. And so I went on a big dive into a rabbit hole about the great Windradyne, Luana, and hence the reason the song came together in about 15 minutes, because I'd watched the First Australians as well, and they had some accounts from some of the local families around Bathurst about, you know, descendants that had stories passed down as well, and non-Indigenous farmers' families that had dealings with Windradyne. And he became one of these people that I thought, I need to make sure more people in this country know his name. And then the other night we won a golden guitar for it in Tamworth.
I know, and that was one of my next questions, because Windradyne went on to win Heritage Song of the Year at the Golden Guitar Awards in Tamworth, and you also picked up four other awards as well. You absolutely cleaned up. What was it like to be recognised in such a big way for your music at the Golden Guitar Awards?
Look, you know, I've been around for a long time playing country music, and it's always been my family outside of my family from Grafton and my family up here in Brizzy. It's been my music family, and I've got big history with the town. When my cousins and I first got out there in 1981, we were only pretty young, but we found our tribe out there, our music tribe. You know, we found other people that were just as mad on country music as us. And we thought we were the only ones, Luana, you know, until we got to Tamworth. And then, you know, to get that happen the other night, winning 5 out of 6 nominations, I've got to be honest, the speeches became a little bit more awkward towards the fifth one. I felt a little bit, you know, just too over the top. You know, this acknowledgement is wonderful, but I feel very shy about public speaking. I don't like public speaking much. I love singing, but I don't like public speaking. And so, yeah, it was a huge honour. And for Windradyne to get it, and for me to thank my son Clay, who sang on that song for me as well here in my studio where I'm yarning to you now, hugely proud. And I know that everyone involved in my life and my career over the many, many years, people that are, if they're still around, they have sent messages of encouragement saying, we were there from the start, and we just know that it means a lot to you still to win a golden guitar.
And your beautiful wife was there with you on the night as well. It must be so special for her to see you being celebrated and, you know, to be there to witness it as well. How does her support play into your journey as an artist?
Well, you know, she was there from the very start, I suppose. We were sitting up in the bleachers right at the back, Luana, where, you know, you could hardly see who was on stage. You almost needed binoculars. That's how far back we were sitting there at the awards one year. And Uncle Jimmy Little got this beautiful award for this song, and I was so thrilled for him when his name was read out. And I said to Laurel, I said, what would it be like down there getting a golden guitar? And she said, no, you'll be there one day, you know, just be patient. And I think sometimes you need people in your life that have a little bit more belief in you than you have yourself. I was always a little bit sort of shy and didn't really, you know, have much confidence and stuff. And I think Laurel helped bring a little bit of that out, you know, and I think that's why I'm probably very lucky that she's still in my life and that we've had a chance to do the whole journey together.
G'day, folks, and don't worry, we will continue to hear more from Troy Rolana and Luana right after this short break.
At the Tamworth Country Music Festival, your documentary, A Journey Between the Fires, was screened. Can you tell us about the documentary and how important it was for you to share that journey?
Look, we didn't expect to even make a documentary, but a beautiful girl called Belinda Miller.
Oh, I love Belinda. She's the best.
She's like a little sister to me. Yeah. And I've probably known her since she was maybe 20 or when she first moved to Brisbane. And her and Michael Bryars, who were out there at my mum's property, they never asked me once, as people that were walking around capturing this, to repeat myself once, Luana. And there was no script, but they also just let everything unfold naturally. And having them around was really important, but they captured all this stuff. And then they sent me an edit to watch over the holidays. And I've got to say, I mean, you know, it's an emotional dive, this record. And at the time, you know, my wife and I had some serious hassles in our life as well after I lost my mum. I think I went into a bit of a shell and pushed a lot of people away. And Belinda was able to capture the journey of getting to the house. And first up, it was like getting the house ready to record. And then you know, I think that the having a chance to screen it, I thankfully had my mum's younger sister sitting next to me because there were some tears there. And it was an amazing experience to watch back. I won't be getting any calls from Russell Crowe anytime soon about my acting ability. I can guarantee you that. But all I can say is to share this with people if they care to come and watch one person's journey through sorry business and grief. It was something that I never thought I'd ever do, but I'm really, really proud of this little documentary that's going to be out soon.
Yeah, and I was going to say it's screened up in Tamworth, but when will it be available to like other people to watch it?
Well, Screen Australia have asked if they can put a little list of some regional places together to actually show it. So we're going to make sure that we'll let everyone know through Facebook and Instagram and everything as well, just to know where it might be going to get an airing. But obvious places will be Grafton. Because it was recorded just outside of town.
Yeah.
But you know, honestly, normally they're trying to, when they're doing edits, the fellow that helped with the editing and the audio said, normally we're trying to get rid of birds. He said, but the birds on your mother's place were speaking to me while I was listening to the documentary. And he said, I ended up turning them all up, the black cockatoos and all the little, the birds. They all feature on the record too, Luana. So I had no choice.
Yeah. Well, it sounds beautiful and I can't wait to watch it. And, you know, would have been very special for you. And also to work with Belinda, who's just such a beautiful person, to, you know, have her there as well along that journey. And you also recently performed on Survival Day at Yarban in Sydney. And I couldn't actually make it down, but I heard that there were record crowds this year at the event. What does it mean to you to perform at Yarban, especially on a day like Survival Day?
Well, Survival Day is an important day to a lot of people for different reasons. And I've always made sure that I always feel in my heart that my grandparents never really, you know, celebrated Australia Day. So Survival Day has been an important part of my journey too, going down to play. I used to go and play when there were certain things held at La Perouse and moved it into a bigger venue where it is now. And I've played maybe four or five of them over the years. And it's an important day. When you're talking survival, you are talking about a very resilient mob of people. And it felt really wonderful to come down from the high of Tamworth and then hit the ground running on City Road, walk in and play a show there. And we had a bunch of kids come in from the Jarjum school to come and sing with me as well. And that was one of the highlights of my day, them singing my little lullaby that I wrote for the ABC called Ningina, which means be quiet in our language. And so it was an important day. And yeah, one day we'll find a day, I think, that suits everybody. But right now it's not for everyone. But a survival day is an important one for me. And it's an important one, I think, for everyone in my family.
And you've got a busy year ahead. I mean, you've had a busy year so far and we're only just the end of January.
Yeah.
But you've got a busy year ahead with performances lined up for Treaty Day Out, the St Kilda Festival and more festivals coming up as well throughout the year. What do you love the most about getting out on the road and performing for your audiences?
Well, it's a double-edged sword for me. I love festivals, but I also love to be able to see communities come together. So part of the deal, Luana, if people book me for a festival, they normally don't understand, but they book me for 2 days. I normally come in the day before and we do some stuff at their local school. And I think it's important for us as artists to leave a little bit of something, a little bit more than just some music. I think you can leave something a little bit more. So I bring the band in. We play for the kids. We encourage them to pursue music as a career sometimes, because some of these kids are really, really talented and they just need a little bit more encouragement. But we will be showing up at their schools. That will be just as big a highlight as playing these towns. And the towns are many and varied. We're playing Hay, we're going right out to Dolby and all over the place. So there's going to be a lot of festivals. We're up at the Gympie Muster. But yeah, the highlights will be getting in that extra day early and trying to catch these kids into enjoying music, not only as something they like, but something they may carry with them into their life as a living.
And finally, what else is in store for you this year? I know you just touched on a lot of the gigs that you've got coming up, but can fans expect any new music or any other projects coming up this year for you?
Yeah, look, this is going to be, because it's a year where I'll just get a chance to collect my thoughts. I've already started to write. And like I say, the Thomas Golden Brown song I wrote at Bateman's Bay the other day is something that it was one of the first songs I've probably written in a year. But they're the sort of things that kickstart your heart into making some more music and just starting to put them aside and gather them up, and gathering up ideas is part and parcel of it. So I don't think I'll be releasing anything this year. Only the little documentary will be out and about, and I hope people can go along and have a look at it and just understand my journey through grief. But yeah, that's going to be an interesting year, and there's a lot of people to catch up with. Got a lot of old friends, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Troy, for coming on NITV Radio and having a yarn to me. And it was also just amazing to catch up with you at the start of the year in Batemans Bay. It was definitely just a beautiful way to all come together. And, you know, I thank you so much for being so generous with your time. Whenever I ask, you know, to have a yarn with you or for you to come and perform somewhere, you're always, you know, right there. So thank you so much. And I appreciate you coming on today.
No worries at all. And thank you. You take it easy this year. Make sure you, pace yourself. I think everyone has to do the same, and I'll be doing exactly the same. But gather those elders around you, Luana. We don't have them forever. And every time I get with mine, I always make sure I get all the information I can out of them and yarn. And I'm still hungry to learn, I think, which is wonderful. So it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, thank you so much. And great note to end on as well.
Take care.
And now, isn't Troy Cassidaly just the most down-to-earth, chill person ever? And unfortunately, it is time for us to go now. So remember, if you want to catch up on today's interviews or see more, you can listen to the show or our features on the SBS Audio app or online at sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. And to take you out, we of course have some of Troy's music playing up next. So, Mandangul, thank you for listening, and in the heavy wise words of Uncle Richard Franklin, much love and be deadly, you mob. Here's Troy Cassidaly right now playing River Boy, followed by some other songs, right here on NITV Radio.
I was born and raised on the river. It's the only life that I know. People around here have put a name on me, and I hear it wherever I go. They call me River Boy, River Boy, a good for nothing River Boy. This whole world don't hold a whole lot of joy when you're nothing but a river boy. I do a lot of fishing on the river to make my living, you see. When I take my catch to the marketplace, the people call out to me and they say, River boy, hey river boy, got any fish today there, river boy? I sell my wares, but nobody cares but the feelings of a river boy. There's a pretty girl works at the marketplace. I see her there every day. But when I try to talk to her, I can hear her papa say, come away from that river boy. He's a river boy. Nothing but a riffraff and river boy. No girl of mine's gonna waste her time on a good for nothing river boy. So I head my boat back up the river, back to my old fishing place. I'm afraid this old river's gonna overflow from the tears running down my face. I'm nothing but a river boy, a river boy, a good for nothing river boy. This whole world don't hold a whole lot of joy when you're nothing but a river boy. This whole world don't hold a whole lot of joy when you're nothing but a river boy.
big flood. Doing my time on a drill rig way down in that North Coast mud. On the southern side, a cable snap, and we watched a man fall in. I tell you, that's one bell you can't unring. Then I got some work out of sawmill, slaving in the sun all day. No amount of paycheck money's gonna chase these blues away. I got two kids and a wife at home, living hand to mouth. Breaking my back, watching it all go south. Watching it all go south. Staring at her open door. I think about walking away like so many times before. I was raised to stay. My pride says, stick it out. I sip on my last beer. Year after year. Watching it all go south. So I roll with it, deal with it, fight and learn to live with a world that keeps fucking with my mind. I saddled up and rode with it, even had a drink with it. These days you find me sitting by, watching it all go south. Staring at an open door. I think about walking away so many times before. I was raised to stay. My pride says take it out. I sip on my last beer. Year after year.
You just heard South and River Boy by I have a mental blank here, Troy Cassadaly. And of course, we played him quite a bit on this show today. And of course, you can hear more of Troy at Treaty Day Out this weekend, Saturday, February the 8th at Morwell. And then following that week, we have St. Kilda Festival he's playing. And while you're at it, why don't you check out his daughter, Jem Cassadaly? She's also got some pretty deadly music as an Australian indie singer. And of course, if you want to catch up with any of their stories or look at any of the features online, you can do so using the SBS audio app or online at sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. Thank you for tuning in today, and we'll see you on Friday.
People's movement. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.